I was born there and I was born perfect and I'm perfect ever since. So they must have done something right, clearly.
So Mrs. Claus had her babies in
Airmount. I did.
Wow.
Stories, answer God.
My memories of Airmount, the pity's not there still, really and truly.
I was a big fat baby, 8 pounds 7, I think. Mother was quite young having me. She said, she'll never forget the big clock on the wall up there.
How does it feel to be back in this building? Oh, sure, look at it. It's like tunnel back the clock.
I love those dear hearts.
July 2025 marks the 30th anniversary of the closure of Airmount Maternity Hospital in Waterford. This, coupled with my own curiosity, gave me the perfect excuse to delve into the foundations of this much-loved building at the heart of Waterford's heritage and experience the values and principles of Airmount and how the staff worked superbly to deliver 50,000 babies between February 1951 and July 1995. Such was the importance of Airmount to the people of Waterford that prior to its closure in 1995, WLR dedicated an entire morning breakfast show to Airmount, with another local icon, the late Billy McCarthy, broadcasting live from the labour and delivery wing of the hospital.
It is Friday's Dish AM. We're coming to you live from Airmount Maternity Hospital in Waterford.
Over the next 45 minutes or so, you will be taken on an unforgettable and heartwarming journey back in time to share the many experiences of just a small number of people representing the thousands of voices of Airmount, past and present. The voices of men and women of Waterford, former midwives, staff, former babies of Airmount, some now with children or grandchildren of their own, real-time emotionally charged stories, flavoured with flashback audio clips from 1995, funny stories, and even a local celebrity success story from within our very own city walls. I visited Assisi House, which now runs an older person's day centre, from what once housed Airmount's labour ward, delivery suites and theatre. Where better to get a genuine nostalgic feel for people's memories than on site of where one of the busiest departments of the maternity hospital was once located?
It was a very important place in years gone by.
It was so special.
Airmount was a lovely hospital back in those days.
This is an historic place, is it not, also? Because the arrival of Airmount on the scene in terms of maternity services of Waterford was something tremendous back in the 50s.
My own personal fascination with Airmount began sometime back in the mid to late 90s. My personal connection to it began much earlier. In fact, as far back as June 1979, when I was born there weighing 6 pounds, 6 ounces. As a young child, I can still remember being amazed by this building, tucked away behind a row of houses with its long, narrow driveway. I always felt like it was hiding, trying to maintain privacy around its exterior, just as it did its interior. The location for the hospital seemed bizarre, secluded by houses, at the same time its location renowned and horizon marred by the massive telecommunications mast that towered over it. To this day, that mast remains visible from various vantage points and locations around the perimeters of Waterford City, almost standing sentinel as a memorial to where Airmount once stood.
And it was on the top of the town, like...
The top of the town,
yeah. And the big pylon at the back. Oh,
that's really synonymous with Airmount, isn't it? I know some women described seeing that and knowing they were on the home stretch when they saw that.
Situated in one of the most airy and beautiful places in the city.
The mere mention of Airmount evokes a vast array of emotions for a huge amount of people, the length and breadth of Waterford City and County, and indeed to various other nooks and crannies of Ireland and, in fact, the world over. Many have wonderful stories to tell and have been overwhelmingly happy to share these with me.
Born in Airmount, 1987. I was a big fat baby, 8 pounds 7. Mother was quite young having me. She said, she'll never forget the big clock on the wall up there. I don't remember a thing about the place. But it turned out fairly all right anyway.
Hello, my name is Lisa. I'm an Airmount baby. I was born 3rd of June 1979 and my weight was 4 pounds 2 ounces. And I was a twin, a big surprise.
On the 22nd of October 1983, I was born in Airmount, weighing a massive 10 pounds 14 ounces. The mother has often said, like, oh yeah, you had people from all over the hospital used to come and visit you because you're the biggest baby that was born in there. And I actually broke her pelvis as well on the birth, you know. So that's always thrown at me these days as well.
My name is Michael Power. I was born in Airmount Hospital 1981 on the 4th of June. I was born at 12:38 a.m. in the morning. And I weighed 7 pounds 8, so I was fairly skinny.
It was the summer in 1994, and we had had a heat wave, and of course Ireland was in the World Cup. I went into labour with my oldest child at approximately 5 a.m. Naively, I thought I was going to have her within an hour, so I headed into Airmount, only to be told there was no rush. I paced the halls for hours. I was alone, as her father had commented that at least I had the pain to concentrate on. He was bored, so I promptly sent him home. I gave birth to rumbles of thunder and flashes of lightning at 7:40 a.m. on June 24th to an 8 pound 11 ounces beautiful baby girl with a head of hair so thick the midwives gave tours to look at her. The hospital was a home away from home. All the staff were lovely, they were so helpful with the babies. They took the babies at night to let you rest. I remember I was on the ward with two other mothers. I spoke to a mam in a private room who I noticed had the posh china to eat and drink from. Clearly she was private. Other than that, we seemed to get the same care. I would love to have my other daughter there. As you can imagine, at 18, it was daunting, but it was warm and homely, and I will always be grateful for that.
The need for a new, modern maternity hospital in Waterford first arose around 1932, when the existing premises, consisting of two interconnecting cottages, located on the narrow Parliament Street, were condemned by the Medical Officer of Health. At this time, the Voluntary Committee were faced with having to make a decision around whether to close the hospital or to move it to a new, more suitable premises. Deciding that the work of the hospital must continue, they worked tirelessly over the following years to bring Airmount to fruition, eventually obtaining the grant for a 2-acre site from the Waterford Corporation.
You know, it was a beautiful sight because you were looking down over Waterford.
One of the most brilliant things about working in Airmount is that in the summertime when dawn comes, the sun gets up down the river and it comes up over, there's sometimes a lovely mist on the river. And this is a thing that you see if you do obstetrics. I mean, the only other time you see it, if you're late home from the pub.
I was down here, I remember my son Desmond was born on New Year's Eve. My husband brought me up, only living down Calbrew Street. Mm-hmm. Said, the Lord's mercy, I'm 40. He said, oh, come on, he said, sure. He said, you won't be long walking up. And here I was coming up that hill, and at that time, my husband worked in the Clyde Shipping Company, and the whole quay was full of all the ships.
Yeah.
Come in, she said to him. He couldn't stop laughing. Oh, I can't, he said, the child is on the cot.
On the 26th of April, 1949, the first sod was turned on the commencing of the new Waterford Maternity Hospital. Mrs. May Strangman had worked laboriously towards the provision of the hospital, and as a mark of her efforts, was afforded this honour. This year marks the 74th anniversary of the day Airmount Hospital first opened its doors in Waterford in February 1951. Within its first week as a functioning maternity hospital, Airmount had aided the delivery of 6 baby girls.
So I'm first born. My mum was in hospital and was preparing to have me, and she was in terrible pain and kept saying this to my dad. And my dad felt that the nurses were not paying enough attention.
Oh, okay.
And so went out into the halls going, my wife is dying. My wife is dying. With which he was thrown out of the hospital. I was only allowed to come back in when I was born.
The staff there were lovely people, you know. They were all mostly locals at that time.
I can honestly say, hand on heart, that the nurses were just so, so good up there.
You got a bottle of stout if you wanted it after your dinner.
The hospital itself nestled comfortably atop the elevated aforementioned 2-acre site and boasted architecture that was considered, back then, to be ahead of its time. The building, historically logged as being called Airm, was erected in the new Unicrete system with steel partitions and was the first of its type in Ireland. It was a one-story building with an arm either side. The arms were built at two levels, one of which was practically below ground level. This structure provided ample space for the central heating unit, the hospital's laundry room and storage. The furnace was maintained and serviced by Joseph Phelan, affectionately known as Josie, and it has been acknowledged that Josie was in fact the only person who knew the running of the furnace and how to put straight any malfunctions, until it was eventually replaced, but only when it became absolutely necessary. The original main hospital was completed at a cost of £35,300. The view from the front door has been described as one of a kind.
That is the main door there, right, facing the gate, coming out in the morning after night duty. Oh my God, lovely spring mornings.
Within its first year of opening, by February 1952, Airmount found itself in financial difficulties.
I think at that particular time, they were in dire trouble, financial trouble, and the bailiffs, I think, were about to move in.
A unanimous decision was reached by voluntary committee members to approach the Bishop of the Diocese, seeking financial assistance. Members were anxious that the hospital would not be taken over completely by local authority, and with some difficulty, the Bishop secured assistance from the Medical Missionaries of Mary to come in and take on the work of managing the maternity hospital. They did so from August 1952. This was a very worthwhile manoeuvre, as Airmount went on to serve the city and county for a further 43 years, until they closed their doors permanently in July of 1995.
At the end of an era, today's programme comes to you live. What if a maternity hospital at Airlot?
The hospital was run by the Medical Missionaries of Mary, and there was a great respect between all grades of staff.
And we thought that we'd like to celebrate all the great work, the crack, the pain, Loris is you, the pain, the joys, and indeed some of the sorrows of this wonderful place and the people who have worked here over the years since it opened its doors in February 1951.
At its peak, Airmount had facilities that provided an extremely high standard of maternity and medical care for 30 mothers and infants. Staff ran a very tight ship, and like any well-oiled machine, it took the seamless and well-coordinated work of the complete team to keep the ship afloat. Behind the scenes, two sub-teams, affectionately called the girls and the women, saw to the day-to-day household running of Airmount, providing nourishing meals, essential hygiene maintenance, and vital backup and assistance to the frontline midwives and doctors. Further supports came in the form of laboratory staff, and John Condon, who worked part-time as a handyman cum caretaker, who took principal care of the large Aga cooker.
So you were one of the women here?
Yeah, well, I was in the hospital. We used to come over here, clean it up, yeah, out at the so-and-so doctor.
So you're an Airmount?
Wait, wait,
Maura.
You're an Airmount?
Oh, Maura.
Maura. Maura's her name. Yeah, yeah. Same, same as myself.
Yeah. What yeah time of the year were you born?
27th of February.
27th of February.
1964.
Wow, and here you are back again.
Oh, yeah.
You can't leave?
No, I can't leave.
My name is Maria Welch, formerly Maria Lestrange. I was one of two cooks in Airmount Maternity Hospital. During that time, I developed many skills while working with both staff and patients, which gave me the opportunity to progress to become a nurse's aide in 83. The 15 years I spent in Airmount was some of the happiest of my working life. I transferred with the staff in 1995 and became a care assistant in Waterford Regional Hospital. I enjoyed my time equally as much as I did in Airmount. I retired in 2013, having fulfilled a very successfully and rewarding career.
I was on night duty at this time again, and we were doing our rounds with the nurses, tidying up the beds and things, 1-4. And this lady was in strong labour at the time, and the nurses were examining her, and all of a sudden they shouted at me, "Bridget, Bridget, will you run for the trolley? Run for the trolley." And Bridget ran into the kitchen for the kitchen trolley.
It was a different type of trolley was needed that particular time.
Ermont Maternity Hospital has been closed for 30 years, and yet its legacy is still very much alive and equally as vibrant as it was when it was open. It's often said that if wolves could talk, they'd tell some stories. Well, we haven't quite got the wolves of Ermont, but we do have some of Ermont's former midwives. Ladies who dedicated their working lives to tend to the maternal needs of Waterford City and County's pregnant women, nursing mothers and their babies, and gynae patients. I was delighted to meet with Mary Power Kelly, nurse, midwife, mother herself, and author of the beautiful A Tale of Two Hospitals, a behind-the-scenes record of Mary's time working at Ermont with unequivocal memories and stories. This formed the foundations for our piece and introduced me to many, many more incredible and equally fabulous colleagues of Mary's, subsequently leading to the birth, pardon the pun, of this extended celebratory documentary. These are just a fraction of their memories of their time as midwives and staff at Ermont.
How does it feel to be back in this building?
Oh, sure, look at it. It's like turning back the clock, really.
Yeah.
Lots of it is as it was.
The corridors, the windows,
the doors. The convent is still down there, the very same. The new clinic, which it was for us at the time, down on the left, is still the very same. They never touched that.
I suppose the first thing I wanted to ask you, Mary, is what made you get into the midwifery in the first place?
It was a kind of a natural transition from general nursing, and it was 75 I finished my training in the County and City Infirmary in general nursing.
Yeah.
And jobs were very scarce at the time, so I went to Dublin to do my midwifery in the Rotunda, and that took a year. And then when I came back, I had the boyfriend in Waterford, so I ended up working in Ermont and getting a job there, and sure, I was very happy here. It was a very homely place to work in, and you know, they didn't push you into something that you weren't totally comfortable with.
My name is Anne Ellis, and I joined the midwifery staff of Ermont Maternity Hospital in January 1981. I was appointed as ward sister on the postnatal ward in 1987, taking over from Frances Daunt. The staff of the hospital, consultants, midwives, and all ancillary staff worked as a team, and this, I think, reflected in a very positive way for the experiences of women having surgery and mothers, babies, and families. I had previously worked in London and in Dublin, and was very happy to join the very experienced staff midwives in Ermont, which was really a women's hospital and therefore very unique.
Every type of an emergency is right to the doors, really, back on things, you know. But no, it was grand. It was a nice place to work overall, you know.
Mary, you had a lovely funny story in the book as well about a lady who called for the flying squad.
Yes.
So first of all, what's the flying squad?
There was a special, nearly like an ambulance that just go out to collect the mother that was maybe ready to deliver and bring her straight to the hospital, you know.
So this woman this night sent for the flying squad, and the assessment that was made on the information was given that she was possibly having an ectopic pregnancy.
Sure. You'd be thinking an ectopic pregnancy, you know, with the pain she was in.
Yeah.
But no.
So what was it?
Cramps with a crab apple.
She'd eaten too many crab apples.
No.
The focus of everything we did was to ensure mothers and babies received the best possible care.
My name is Mary Power Kelly, and I'm proud to say Ermont was a big part of my life story. I was born there and had my own 7 children and also nursed there for 18 years. During those years, having my children were my happiest, and Ermont was home from home for me. The care and attention I received from my work colleagues after each birth was precious. After its closure, it prompted me to write about it in 2000 in my book, A Tale of Two Hospitals. I'm delighted now to have this opportunity to thank Eamon for that happy time in my life.
Midwives are trained to recognise pregnancy, labour, birth and the postnatal period as a healthy and profound experience in women's lives. Described as the sound backdrop to Airmount, the distant crying of babies became a familiar and comforting part of the midwives' lives. It's been well documented that quite often midwives will work in a quiet, almost magic-like manner while attending to a woman in labour, watching, listening and encouraging her, and supporting labouring mums and dads too. A midwife is generally the first person who will give a newborn baby that all-important first experience of human touch.
Probably Jason was kind of a bit rushed, all right, because when I got to the hospital, there was an awful lot of women having babies at the exact same time as when I came in to have Jason. And I remember being in the visiting room with an awful lot of men, and of course Michael, my husband, and I was getting very bad contractions, I know, and I obviously had I was giving them an awful lot of frights because some of the men were looking at me like I was going to drop the baby on the floor. So it was quite scary for them. The look on their faces was just hysterical.
Karen was the first, and she came so quick. I didn't have time to push her. She came out. And next of all, there was kind of pandemonium. Okay. Oh, quick, get so-and-so, get this one. There's another baby. So Lisa was born a minute and a half later.
Hi, my name is Dolores. I was born in Airmount Hospital in June of 1967. I was a premature baby, 6-7 months, and I weighed 3 pounds and 9 ounces. At the time, being such a small baby, I needed to be christened immediately. And I came so fast, there was no names picked. I'm the youngest of 12, so they came and asked what they wanted to call the child. She asked the nurse what was her name, and she said Mary, and she said, no, I can't call her Mary because I already have a Mary. Then my mother said, what's the sister's name? And she said, Dolores. She said, okay, that will do her. So that's how my name came about.
At the time of commencing this piece, in February 2024, I had the pleasure of meeting and chatting with several former midwives and patients, many of whom were happy to have their stories shared, but were too shy to be recorded, including the wonderful Dolores Power. Dolores' story begins as a student nurse in Waterford City and County Infirmary. She recalls her first introduction to Airmount was as a student on a day spent visiting the hospital to observe what a maternity unit looked like and the work that went on there. Dolores told me, I remember looking into the newborn nursery, seeing a midwife and thinking to myself, that's the job I want. This is where I want to be. Dolores went on to say that following her return from the USA, having spent some time nursing there, she got her wish when she subsequently started working in the nursery at Airmount in 1977. According to Dolores, the work was challenging, but so rewarding. Her days spent looking after newborn babies and their mothers. Dolores fondly describes Airmount as a very happy place to work, going on to further describe the nursery comprising of two areas, one for newborn, well and healthy infants, and another that had incubators for the premature babies. While most of the babies were well, in the case of a sick baby, it was the responsibility of nursery staff to get the baby transferred to the intensive care neonatal unit in the former Waterford Regional Hospital. This service was organised by a team that would travel over to Airmount and complete the transfer by ambulance. Dolores also recalls having a team of paediatricians that visited Airmount on a daily basis to check over the newborns. She spoke of and wanted to give recognition to a dear staff member, Jane Power, who is no longer with us. Jane was a highly regarded head nurse in charge of the nursery. Her skills, care and intuition were exemplary in the care of the newborns. And Dolores said she will always recall her saying to them all, if you ever have a gut feeling that an infant is not well, always report what you observe. Dolores finished by telling me that her years spent in Airmount were the happiest in her nursing career. Having had her dreams literally come true, Dolores went on to work in Airmount for 18 years before transferring with the maternity services in 1995. During the course of our chat, Dolores told me about many of the babies she looked after in Airmount, and in fact a mum of a premature baby she looked after with whom she still remains in contact.
My Airmount story started on July the 1st, 1987. I was 24 weeks along on my first pregnancy when I woke during the night to find that my waters had broken. We were absolutely terrified and rang the hospital and of course were told to come in. We were treated with kindness by all the staff we met. Dr. Gallagher told us with compassion and honesty that we should prepare ourselves for bereavement, which would be a bereavement like any other. We were devastated but really appreciated his honesty and the respectful way he gave us his opinion, not one we wanted to hear. As each day passed, we dreaded the arrival of labour. After a few days, we were told that it was a wait and see situation. The kindness of the nursing staff is hard to describe, and I'm delighted to have the chance to acknowledge each one of them, a few of whom, sadly, have left this world since. They encouraged us every day. If you could only get to 28 weeks, then if you could only get to 30 weeks, and then if you could only get to 32 weeks. At 33 weeks gestation, our beautiful son decided to say hello to the world and arrived safely by cesarean section on Friday, September the 4th at 10:10 p.m. The excitement in the hospital the next day was palpable. Airmount had become my home that summer, and it felt as if the staff were my family. Then on to the nursery, such care. I had to go home a few weeks before my precious Bundy, but absolutely knew that it could not be in better hands. So my Airmount story ends in joy. Our beautiful baby came home to us on Friday, October the 2nd, 1987. Thank you, Airmount.
And that's been Station AM, which today came to you live from the Waterford Maternity Hospital at Airmount.
It is Friday's Station AM. We're coming to you live from Airmount Maternity Hospital in Waterford.
I rang my mother up yesterday and said, listen, was I born in Airmount? She said, yes, you were. All of you were born in Airmount.
My mum was in there after having one of the kids, and myself and my sister walked up to Airmount because we had no money. The windows in Airmount were quite high, so I was able to climb up. There was a kind of a lip underneath the window, so I was able to climb up and knock on the window of the room my mum was in, and she opened the window, and here was me with a bloody nose and my sister beneath me on the grass. All we were looking for is the money to go to the roller disco.
Well, should we be sitting up in the bed gas bagging and, you know, giving out about the husband to get you pregnant?
Cheek of them.
Yeah.
There was chickens out the back, so it was great to hear them clucking all day.
An impromptu trip to the old Airmount site in March 2024 led to me meeting with some incredible people, each with their own fond recollections of when the room in which they were now seated in Assisi House was once the theatre of Airmount. One such lady regaled her own heart-wrenching tale and paid tribute to the exceptional and outstanding work carried out by the medical team of consultants there. A team held in the highest of regards by so many people, but humbled by the doctors themselves. The following is a story I personally will never tire of listening to. The most wonderful lady, Maura O'Brien.
How many children did you have?
I had six, but there were two born at home and four born here. And Dr. Quinn saved the child. He was a gynecologist. Yeah. And he came and he said, we're going to put you to sleep to see what's wrong. Now, you'll be all right, she said, but I can't guarantee the baby. So he came in, Father Fardy came in, I was on the operating table. And he put his hand up. He said, I have to put her asleep this instant. And I said, it was at me so urgent, and she was ready to put me asleep.
Were you scared?
So, I was terrified of my life. When I woke up, I was going down on the trolley. It was all over. And I put my hand down. And I said, where's the baby? June Fine, dear, he said.
He was a wonderful man. He came to see me 3 days after. Oh, you know, I'm grand. I said, no, I went like that week. No, she said, you won't be going home for a few weeks. Oh, Jack, I said, my mother is minding the children. Mrs. O'Brien, he said, what's a few days in a lifetime? Wow. He was lovely.
Yeah. How long ago was that?
That's 66 years.
And you remember that, clear as day?
Of course I do. How old do you think I am?
How old? Oh my God. Well, you're a fresh looking woman. I can't believe that was 60 odd years ago. I would have only said you were in your 70s, but you couldn't possibly be only in your 70s if that was 66 or 67 years ago.
I'm 92 since the 3rd of April.
Well, I want whatever you're having.
No cigarettes, no drink, keep out of the sun.
And what about men?
I lost my husband. I was 5 years going to him before I was married. Yeah, and I was 48 when he died. He died with TB up in Piemont. One man,
and one is enough. Yeah. One was enough for you.
You can only love one man.
You can.
Yeah, had 6 children.
But we are told that in hospitals throughout the length and breadth of the land and just worldwide, we are told also, consultants like yourself are seen as literally God by the rest of the staff. Is that true?
Well, if that's so, I don't know it, that's for sure. No one treats me like God around here, if you can tell you. No, I get the same cup of tea as the rest.
Over the course of its time serving Waterford City and County and its surrounding boroughs, spanning over 4 decades, Ermount saw the arrival of 50,000 babies. And while a massive percentage of these were happy experiences with healthy babies, I was honoured to have had shared with me and be trusted to represent this poignant and sad but beautifully told story.
A story my mother told me. And she had a stillborn little girl, Mary, in 1965. And Mary was born and she was 8 pounds, 4 ounces, a big enough baby. Snow white skin, she said, and a head of red, red hair. And poor Mary was born stillborn. And back in the days, there was no tests to, you know, confirm that this was going to happen or anything. It was just one of those things. My mother said she always remembers the nuns coming down to her and to bar her down to the church. And here was little Mary laid out in those little thin, cardboardy, tiny little mandarin orange boxes. The vegetable men used to use them. And a little, tiny little pink embroidery blanket. And Mary was inside in the blanket. And she said all I could see was her little red head. So they took her off and buried her before my mother was discharged from the hospital. So my mother never forgot the image. Always had little Mary in her head. She said never forgot it. But and that's the way things were done back then.
Oh, I hope you did.
Typically, here in Ireland, dads were discouraged and even prevented from being present in the labour wards, but especially at childbirth. In years gone by, a labour ward was considered no place for a man to be unless he was wearing a white coat. By the 1960s, by and large, men were allowed in the room during labour. However, it wasn't until the 70s and 80s they were allowed to stay for the birth. So, prior to the evolution of men's presence on the labour wards, what did the poor, concerned fathers-to-be of Ermount do while their significant others were in labour or delivery?
The one thing I found most difficult to get used to here was the men in the labour wards some years ago, because when I first started here, men just left the cases on the steps and disappeared until the following day.
Gino was working in a bar in Tramore and they rang him and told him that I had twins. So himself and his friend came in, walking sideways, coming down. The nurse came out. Who's the father? And the two of them said together, we are. Actually, it was the nun. And she started laughing.
Meanwhile, Tommy was at home watching the first moon landing.
My second girl, Sheila, was born here. It would have been in September 1990-something. I got in as far as the front reception, I think, I remember, right, and put into a small room and was told to wait.
Wait, your bit was done at that
stage. That was it, yeah, wait. And then a couple of hours later, I can't remember, or I think I might have been sent home, actually, and, you know, and got a phone call then to come back in. And by that stage, my wife was done and dusted. Yeah, it was a lot simpler back then, different times.
Back in the day, my eldest daughter, Roisin, was born there in September the 14th, 1992. And I remember it well because, the day before Waterford played in the under-21 hurling final, All-Ireland hurling final, and they drew with Offaly, strangely to say. I was listening to it in the car park in Airmount. My wife, Mary, had been admitted the day before on the Saturday because Roisin was due. They wanted to keep an eye on her. On the Sunday afternoon, I went out to the car park to listen to the game. It was a beautiful sunny afternoon, but I spent most of the afternoon in the car listening to the match.
And in the beginning, we had fellas crash to the floor and we had to resuscitate them outside.
But now I think it's the norm and it's the everyday thing.
During the 1990s, Ireland experienced a period of significant change in maternity care, and this included the closure of several maternity units. This was largely driven by factors like declining birth rates in certain areas, economic constraints, and an overall desire to rationalise healthcare services. The Irish government implemented a strategy to consolidate maternity services, aiming for fewer, more efficient units. The closures were partly motivated by the need to reduce health spending and were largely delivered under the guise of improving the efficiency of the maternity system, with a greater emphasis on hospital-based care and a move away from home births and smaller units such as Airmount. At the time of Airmount's closure in 1995, 16 patients and 12 babies were transferred to the new 75-bed maternity unit at the then Waterford Regional Hospital at Ardkeen.
The services are transferring to Waterford Regional Hospital to a beautiful new state-of-the-art maternity unit.
Hi, my name is Angela Power and I was asked to do a piece for the anniversary of the closure of Airmount 30 years ago, as my daughter was one of the last babies born there. My daughter Leanne was born on the 23rd of July 1995, which was a Sunday morning, and then Airmount closed and we transferred out to Ardkeen on the Tuesday, 2 days later, so we had the best of both worlds. My husband was not with me, I remember, when she was being born, because there was an insurance policy up there that they weren't allowed in. But thankfully, I had two lovely midwives, Mary Dunford and Annette Cullen, who really looked after me. And Dr. Broderick was my doctor at the time. So like I said, she was one of the last babies born there. It was an experience to remember, all right. So it was.
My name is Mary Gough Kelly. I trained in Cork in St Finbar's Hospital, both in general and midwifery, and moved to Waterford Maternity Hospital Airmount in late 1980, having gotten married earlier in the year. I knew very few people in Waterford in the surrounding areas, apart from a few friends of my husband and his immediate family. But as soon as I started working in Airmount, that all changed, and it was like stepping into a big happy family. I was so happy going to work every day, and the friends I made there are my friends today. Airmount was affectionately known by Waterford mothers as the home, and indeed many women in the 80s had very large families and would jokingly say that their week's holiday was a new baby born in Airmount. The mothers and babies were really well looked after, and mothers got a well-deserved night's sleep, and the babies were kept in a night nursery where staff fed and changed them during the night. Then the babies were washed and changed and brought out to their mothers at 6 o'clock in the morning and smelling like little flowers, all roaring, looking for their feeds. I experienced Airmount both as a staff member and as a patient, as I had 5 children there. It was just fabulous to have your baby delivered by your friends, and you felt the support of everyone when you were delivered safely and all was well. After delivery, you got washed and pampered and brought back to a lovely, fresh, clean bed. And also as a staff member, there was a beautiful basket of fresh flowers on your locker to congratulate you and welcome your new baby. And of course, the most beautiful meal ever invented, tea and toast. Airmount for me was my support system, especially during the following year or so after my first child was born. As my beautiful, loving father, aged only 53, was diagnosed with a very rapid form of cancer and was buried 6 weeks later. It was devastating, but again, my friends in Airmount, they rallied round, giving me all sorts of suitable off-duty, working for me, giving me holidays so I could visit my grieving family in Cork, as my younger siblings, some of whom were only 12 and 15. Things took another turn for the worst when my husband had a very serious farm accident, and he received 24 units of blood and very lengthy recovery period. I had my second child a year later, but found it a bit of a struggle to juggle work, two babies, and also working on the farm. So I resigned from my job and was just heartbroken having to do so. I left for 12 years and had three more children. But I knew that I would return one day, which I did. That was in 1995 in December. I went to work in University Hospital Waterford as Earmont had moved out the previous July, from whence I retired in 2020. I loved every moment of my working life, and as a midwife, it was such a pleasure to hand a couple their beautiful newborn baby. I was so honoured.
Having heard such amazing stories, fond recollections of Earmount, and the love and care still very evident for the staff 30 years on, it's no surprise that many mums and dads have very vivid memories of their experiences in the delivery room. As previously mentioned, there were 50,000 babies born in Earmount. And what better way to end this piece? I give you just a small fraction of the many voices representing the people of Earmount.
We've come so far, and we've reached so high, and we've looked each day and night in the eye.
I had my son in Earmount on September 16th, 1994. He was 6 pounds 11 ounces and he was born at 6:47 a.m.
My name's Jamie Beamish and I'm an actor from Waterford, from Congress Place actually. So when I say I was born and bred on Congress Place, that's very true because I was born in Earmount in 1976. And of course, Earmount is at the top of Congress Place. So my mam, when she was bringing me home, was able to walk from Earmount down to the house. So yeah, I'm very much an Earmount baby.
Yeah, we lived at 28 Osmond Street, which was the last house before you went into the Mount Sinai pitch. Now, it was only a 5-minute walk from the house down into Domley's Place and up into the main entrance of Earmount. But my father used to take the shortcut and would go to the end of the garden over the wall and go in and see how the mother was. If my mother had a window near her bed, she could literally lean on the window and talk to my father from the garden wall. So that's a funny memory I have of our house in Osmond Street and Earmount Hospital.
My name is Mary Manton and I had two of my three children in Earmount. Such a vivid memory of my first child being born in Earmount, and that was in 1992. Coming out of theatre after having the emergency caesarean section and seeing my mother leaning up against the radiator, that radiator at the entrance of the operating theatre, just to say that, oh, Mary, I hope you're okay. And he is gorgeous. So obviously at that stage, I knew I had a boy and midwives were brilliant. It was lovely.
My name is Damien Power. I was born in Earmount. At the time, my mother recalls, there was three expectant mothers per ward. A mother that she became very friendly with had a baby that weighed only 5 pounds. And my mother will never forget to this day how the mother of that baby called her husband and made comment to the fact that I was 9 pounds, 2.5 ounces. She said something along the lines of, "Come over here and look at this whopper."
Hello, my name is Derek O'Keefe. I was born in Earmount in 1980 and I almost choked on a cream egg years later in the same Earmount.
The women of my age that had their babies up there will never forget it. When Earmount closed down, and I remember one day somebody drove me up and like that, I went, God be with the days.
I was very lucky because I didn't need to have a doctor with any of my two deliveries. Basically, two midwives delivered both Stephanie and Jason for me, and they were really, really exceptional and put everybody at ease. We were moved into the first stage room, and at the time, the three labour wards were full, so there was nowhere for me to go, and my contractions were getting really, really bad on Jason, so they just started running and rushing and racing to get in all the equipment they needed into this tiny little bed I was on. I couldn't roll right or left, because if I did, I was on the floor. So I remember thinking, good God, I'm not going to be able to deliver a baby on this tiny table. But they said, you will and you can. He came very quickly.
I have good memories of those times. Our babies were collected from the nursery at 6 a.m. each morning and put back there each night. There was chickens out the back, so it was great to hear them clucking all day. The light in my room was turned off at 9 p.m. as I was a public patient. Suppose we were well looked after in those days, but it was fairly restrictive. I have more memories of being in Earmount, but it would turn into a book.
I always recall we were all six of us in a room, three across from each other in a big white room at the end of the hall in the old Earmount, and Nun come running in the hall. There's a very special lady coming with her very special son. She said he's just after having him down the toilet. This girl, who is now a very good friend of mine, Nullick, she had her son, Martin, who's the same age as my daughter, obviously. So when they brought her in, we assumed that she'd be in bits. Not at all. Tough lady, sat up, baby perfect, beautiful little boy. They made a bed for her in the room, which was seven of us in the room instead of six. And the nuns came in and they sat there chatting away to us all. And they were fussing over Nullick and little Martin. And they used to go off down and she used to bring up the cabbage leaves. Funny enough, we did believe they worked. We did use them frozen. Also, lastly, which amazes me, and it's an image I still have, is on the heaters, we used to go and wash our underwear, our nicks, in the sinks. Your suitcases weren't full of all these baby packs with names and tags and the best of clothes. And so you just brought in the bare necessity. You brought yellow or white. They were the only two colours. They sat down and chatted. They took the babies off you for the first night, sometimes the second night. Couldn't fault it. I thought it was a really lovely way of bonding with people and chatting to other mothers, and it was company and comparing the babies and minding each other's babies if you had to go to the toilet, or some of us were smokers at the time. Everybody looked after each other.
It was a very important place in years gone by.
It's the end of an era, and after 52 years and 50,000 deliveries, it's sad for us.